Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Well, welcome to the midweek service. We're looking at fulfilling your prophetic destiny, part two, the Bible study last week. Our text again is Matthew chapter 5. Verse 13 to 16. We will not be tired of reading the Word of God. We will need a microphone, please. We have it there already. Okay. So can you help us read our text? Matthew chapter 5.
Matthew chapter 5, 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
Amen. Thank you. I hope we all have copies of the outline. Ushers. Okay, we are still waiting for the person that has the key. So you can share with somebody by your side while we wait for that person to come. I don't know how many of us were around when Ikoyi Baptist Church started 50 years ago. But I want to believe that the founding fathers prayed and God spoke to them. And God gave them or revealed to them the prophetic destiny of this congregation. Every local church has its own prophetic destiny to fulfill. And when you don't know it, the tendency is that you want to be like another church. And it shouldn't be so. The Ikoyi Baptist Church cannot be. Which one is the nearest Baptist church to us here? New Dawn. Okay? Sometimes some people even tell us that our daughter churches should be like us. It cannot be. Every local church has its own peculiarity, its uniqueness. There's a reason in the heart of God for giving birth to that local church. Just like every child born into this world has a specific destiny to fulfill. So Ikoyi Baptist Church has a prophetic destiny to fulfill from the Lord. And our founding fathers, by the grace of God, were able to discern that. And God gave them, I believe, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. That is why every bulletin you carry, you see the logo of the church. What do you see on the logo of Ikoyi Baptist Church? You see what? Light. Amen. And as we are praying, preparing to resume in the Ikoyi Baptist Church, wondering where to start, while waiting for the analysis of the questionnaires we gave out, I came across the constitution and I saw from the logo, and it was clear to me where to start from. Hallelujah. So whatever we are doing now, it's actually not new. We are only trying to rediscover what God gave them at the beginning, which in the course of our journey maybe is getting dimmer and dimmer, and God needs to re-enlighten us. Last week, we were able to look at questions A, B, C, D, and tonight we're going to tidy up looking at section E, F, G. Hallelujah. Question E. What do you perceive as the scope of a disciple's or congregation's influence? From Matthew chapter 5, verse 13a and verse 14a. We have been mentioning that over and over, that we are the salt of what? Of the earth. And if a geographer is here to give us the dimension of the earth, you know that it's not a joke. Amen. The earth is not only Ikoyi, neither is it only Lagos State. It goes beyond Nigeria, covers the entire globe. And verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. So talking about our influence should be able to go beyond where we are to the ends of the earth, to the entire world. And somebody asked me, little me, how can that be? How would that be possible? There are several ways by which that can be done. That is not the thrust of our discussion tonight. At some point, I believe we get to it. Praise the Lord. Meanwhile, can you help me shake hands with your neighbor and say, thank God for Ikoyi Baptist Church? Today, I had the privilege of going with the brethren to Ikoyi prisons, and I was deeply touched by what the Lord is doing through us. That's a mission field on its own, where you have inmates close to, I don't know, I know that the population we have today will be running to 3,000, 4,000 plus. It's amazing. And God has given us an open door to that prison, and it will not be closed in the name of Jesus Christ. I wish we can do that in all the prisons in Nigeria. It will be wonderful. What did they do today? We carry our light to where? To the prison. And only God can tell us the impact, the import of today's visit in the lives of those people. One of the things that touched me most is that most of the people I saw, they were young people. Only very few adults, maybe in their 50s, the majority from 20 down maybe to 40. I can see the enemy wasting destinies. The only hope that they have is the church. When on Sunday we said in the outline that the most powerful institution on earth is the local church. It's not an exaggeration. It's not an overstatement. The Federal Republic of Nigeria owns those prisons. And you know what they are doing. Are you following me now? It's only the church. And I hear the DCP kept saying, please, you people should not abandon us. You people should keep coming. And I pray that we'll not be tired. In Jesus' name. Let me shake hands with your neighbor again. Say, God bless you. Let's not be tired. Hallelujah. Mention some of the dangers of failing to be salt of the earth and light of the world. If you fail in your obligation, if you fail to be what God has ordained you to be, what are the implications, what are the dangers of not being the salt of the earth and light of the world? And we're going to go back to verse 13 down to verse 15 to get our answer. Make sure whatever contribution you are making is from the Bible. Amen. The essence of Bible study is to study the Bible, not to study from our head. And when you are talking, talk about yourself. Are you hearing me? Don't say they. What is the danger of failing to be salt of the earth and light of the world? From Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, verse 14, Verse 15. Hallelujah. Who wants to share with us? That's why I don't like standing here when teaching Bible study. I like to come close so that I can. So, we need to talk. It's okay. I'm sure you have your Bible. Okay, Deacon, you can open the floor for us.
It is not good for anything if we lose the salt characteristic.
Did you hear what Deacon said? That when the salt loses its saltiness, what happens to it? It will no longer be good for how many things?
Anything.
I want us to take this passage from different translations so that it can speak clearly to us. Verse 13. We have NIV on the screen. Can we read NIV again, all of us together? If the salt So in the first instance, what does it mean to lose your saltiness as a believer? What does it mean? Okay.
Okay. What it means to lose your saltiness is that you lose the Holy Spirit, because he said he will put the words that you will say into your mouth, and anything you will do won't be on your own, but by the word, by the Holy Spirit helping you. So you will lose the Holy Spirit. That's all.
Yeah, to an extent you are correct, but you took it too far. Okay? Simply put, what does it mean for a believer to stop being salt? It's now backslided. It's now an unbeliever. Back to square one. Praise the Lord. That's what it means. It's no longer effective. I heard that word from that corner there.
Value. I said there is no value.
No value again. It's now a sinner. Is backsliding. Praise the Lord. And it's possible that you're also in Bible study tonight. You only have the form. You are still carrying your Bible quite all right, but you are no longer the person you used to be when you gave your heart to Christ. No more quiet time. No more Bible study. But you are still coming to church, but you are far, 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 far away. Like she said, the Holy Spirit has what? Has told you what? Bye-bye. That's what it means to lose one's saltiness. And what is that thing that will make a believer to lose his saltiness? What is it? Sin. When you have become an habitual what? An adamant sinner. The Holy Spirit kept nudging you, kept warning you. You failed to repent. He will just leave you and you become OYO on your own. Let me ask your neighbor tonight, where is your salt? Ask your neighbor, where is your salt? Our mothers will tell us here, if you have a salt in your kitchen, that is no longer effective and use it to cook, what will happen to the soup or the food? Eh? Tasteless. What will be the response of everybody at home that day about that food? Eh? You just come back and you see people, they just, you know, touch your food this way and just push it to one corner. And you come back and you are complaining. See how you are wasting my food. Why are they wasting your food? The salt is no longer what? Effective. Sometimes people complain. You give them assignment in the church. Their team is not functioning well. The ministry you place in their hand is just going down. And the church begins to complain, and you are wondering, why are they complaining? Check inward. Something may be going wrong with your saltiness. Praise the Lord. So let's come down again to the scripture. We have read NIV. It says, it is no longer good for anything. It is no longer what? Good for anything. Can we take another Bible translation? Good News, New King James, or Message. Okay, this Message on the screen. Can we read Message? Of this earth. Voila. Did you see the danger here? Eh? You have lost your what? Usefulness. And we end up where? In the garbage. Is there anybody here that want to claim that? You know, we like to claim promises from the Word of God. Is it the type we like to claim? To end up in the garbage. I don't want to end up in the garbage. I want to continue to be useful to the Lord on a daily basis until the time He will call me home. So any Christian that has lost his saltiness, has lost what? What has he lost? His usefulness. And we end up in the garbage. That's Message. Good News. Can we take Good News? Anybody with Good News? Okay, it's there. Okay, can we read Good News? So this transition says it has become what? Worthless. Thrown out, and people will begin to do what? Trample on it. May your life not become like that. That men will be trampling on, of no value, of no worth. Any other translation? Amplified. Can we read again? Praise the Lord. There's a translation that says it's good for nothing. I don't know who has that translation. Is it NIV? Old King James. Okay, this is the Old King James. That's the Bible, okay? Can we read Old King James together? Hallelujah. So there could be good for nothing Christians. Is that so? Good for how many things? Good for nothing. They only occupy space. I shouldn't be in that category. It's a dangerous thing to lose your saltiness. While we are reading one of the translations, it may appear that once you backslide from what we are reading, you cannot be restored again. But you know that when you take the entire scripture, restoration is still what? Possible for an unbeliever. So maybe you are here tonight, you backslided. No matter how far or how long or whatever you have gone in sin, Christ is still willing to do what? To take you back. For with him, nothing shall what? Shall be impossible. You remember the prodigal son, how he went out and languished, wallowed in iniquity, wasted every grace that was given unto him by his father, until he got to the rock bottom. The Bible says he came back to what? His senses, and he took the best decision of his life. See, I will arise and do what? Go back to my father. Interestingly, from the day he left home, the father has been waiting for his son to come back. And that's why from a long distance, the father saw him and he welcomed him back home. God is willing to take back every backslider. If only you will repent genuinely, he will take you back to himself. We are looking at some of the dangers of failing to be salt of the earth and light of the world. When I begin to contribute generally, if anybody wants to speak to this, you are free to, maybe from other passages. Let's go to verse 14. Verse 15 particularly. Can we read verse 15 and bring out the danger of failing to be the light of the world? Can we read verse 15 together? Hallelujah. So let's ask ourselves, why is it that people don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl? Why? Ma? That's not the purpose. What's the purpose of giving
the purpose of it is for it to be able to give light to everybody to see.
To give light to everyone where? In the house. Hallelujah. What's another danger of keeping your light under the bowl? It can go off. What else? What can happen? It can catch fire. This is Christmas season. And we have been praying also, join us in prayer. None of us will be involved in fire accident in the name of Jesus Christ. So let's be careful also at home. Let's be very, very sensitive. Hallelujah. So if people don't put their lamp under a bowl, under a bushel, but on a stand so that it can give life to everyone in the house, what is the danger? We have mentioned some of them. If you allow your light to be covered, it may die off. Okay? And what does it mean to allow my lamb to be covered? What does it mean as a believer? Okay, let them hear you, sir.
You're no longer impacting your world.
Okay. And why are you no longer impacting your world? The bull is another influence now. Rather than influencing, you are now being what? Being influenced, being controlled. And you are now conforming to the pattern of the world. That's why when you see, I don't know whether you have heard that, sometimes when you're counseling young people, somebody will tell you, Pastor, don't worry. It's a very gentle unbeliever. Very good unbeliever. Very good unbeliever. And I'm trusting God that I will convert him when we get married. Have you heard that before? Is it possible? First of all, you have already violated scripture. You have broken God's rule. You have sinned. You have disobeyed God. So how will God help you to fight and win that battle? There's no way light and darkness. Maybe we should go to 2 Corinthians and see what God said through Apostle Paul. Because sometimes we use our common sense to want to undo scriptures. It won't work. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. So I would like us to read again from the screen or from your Bible, whichever one is convenient for you. Three, go. And what conquered. With an infidel. And what agreement. Hallelujah. When light and darkness marries, what do you think will happen? Light and darkness, are they friends? They are what? Are they just enemies? They are eternal enemies. Light and darkness, no concord. No agreement, no fellowship. They don't have anything to do together. Darkness is the light anywhere and is ready to fight it. The same way light, we say no. I shine in darkness and you cannot do what? You cannot comprehend me. Amen. 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 So, you are the light of the world. You cannot compromise. You cannot violate scripture. You should not allow any bull whatsoever to cover your light. You will not be living up to expectation when that is being done. You are not supposed to be influenced by unbelievers. You are supposed to influence the world. I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. The benefits of living as the salt of the earth and the light of the world is clear from what we have been talking about and sharing tonight. But I just want to quickly round up with verse 16. What will happen when our light begins to shine before men? What the Bible says will happen? They will see what? The good deeds. And do what? And we give God praise. When last did people praise God because of you? When last? When last? Do you shine your light occasionally? Do you shine your light only annually? Why going back to the prison the second time? Because I decided to go back to conclude the meeting because I rushed out to attend to another commitment. And from the gate, the security man there stopped us. And the driver, you know, went down and was asking us, where are you going? We said we are going to the prison. We came for a program. So you should have told us that you are from Ikoyi Baptist Church. We didn't mention that we are from Ikoyi Baptist Church. We only said we are going inside for what? For the program. But he has already concluded that these are what? What do you think is happening in the whole of prison today? They are talking about Ikoyi Baptist Church. Why? Because we've shown the light of the gospel. They drank Fanta. Isn't it? Drank malt, drank coke, ate and danced to good music, heard wonderful preaching. Their souls were what? Were lifted up. I'm sure they are glorifying God because of you. I pray we will live up to expectation. Anywhere and everywhere we find ourselves. Every day on a daily basis, remember that you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. There are specific things you can do to help that life, that your neighbor, that colleague at work. Let it be that the day you resign from your place of work that you want to go, what will happen? Your boss will be doing what? Will literally break down and begin to cry. Say, please, don't go. I will double your salary. You know, there are some of us now, if you go back to work tomorrow and say, Oga, I'm going. Oga will do like this, say, hallelujah, oh. Praise the name of the Lord. Huh? Why will it jubilate? Eh? Because he has not seen anything light in that life. No saltiness. All that they are doing in the office that is negative, you are the champion, you are the forefront. Like I said last week, one African theologian said, Christianity in Nigeria, in Africa, is 1 mile long, but 1 inch deep. That if every one of us who claim to be salt and light in the church, we live the life. Sincerely speaking, Nigeria will have changed. Africa will have changed. But we are only salt of the earth in the church. Light of the world only in the church. Once we leave the church now, we're a different person altogether. Some of us parents still curse our children. You know the kind of names you call them? And when you come to church, say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, I will not do it again. As you go back again now, back to square one. We will live up to expectation. Can we take contributions or questions before we pray? Any contribution? Any question? There's what we call lifestyle evangelism. How many of us know what lifestyle evangelism is? That without you opening your mouth to preach, your life is doing what? It's preaching. That is the core of what we are talking about tonight. I see a hand at the back.
Praise God. My question is taken from the same verse we read on being light and being salt. It's straight but not straight, so much, but it's simple. Can we be half light and half salt? You know, what I mean is, are there days when we feel like light and some other days we feel like darkness, and some days we feel like salt, some other days we lose our saltiness? Is that possible in a genuine walk with the Lord? Using our flesh, because we are still in the flesh, and then we can fall back and say, oh, it's the flesh that is taking hold of me.
Who wants to answer him? Who wants to respond to that question? That's why I call it a Bible study. Let's have the mic in front. Somebody wants to help us.
Praise God. I want to believe that there are categories of light. There are levels. And just like 2 Corinthians 1, if I'm not mistaken, from verse 18, talks about we reflecting the glory of God. The more we are exposed to God, the quality of our relationship with God will make us to be transformed. And the more of God we have in us, the brighter we shine. So that brings the level of the rate at which the light shines. So if we are not close to God, we are born again, we have a measure of light. But as we continue to grow and expose ourselves more and more unto God, we shine the more. Just like we have different categories of light, we can see that one is brighter than this smaller bulb. We have halogen, we have candlelight. Uh-huh. So we must aspire
to draw
closer to God, grow in Him, and shine better.
Yeah, coming back again to that question. When the Bible talks about being salt of the earth and light of the world, it's actually talking about the nature. Are you following now? The nature that we acquire or we are given as the new birth. So to answer your question straight, you cannot be half salt and half light. You are either salt or not. You are either light or darkness. But now coming back to what has been contributed, when you give your life to Christ, you need to grow. Last week, we were talking about the issue of discipleship. The reason why somebody may now begin to feel, using your word, begin to feel today is salt and light, I mean half salt, half light, is because that person is not growing in his faith. And there's a tendency that his Christianity will be what? Rise and fall. No, today is roller coaster, tomorrow, you know. So the emphasis is discipleship. That once I give my life to Christ, then I should take discipleship very, very serious. The other side to it also has to do with the genuineness of that conversion experience. There are some people today, with the way we lead people to Christ, sincerely speaking, that you cannot attest for the genuity of their what? Of their conversion. I don't know if I'm making sense. You know, somebody just walked to the altar, you led him to say the sinner's prayer, but nothing has changed. That's the kind of Christianity, kind of conversion we see in our days. Our elderly ones here will tell you, in the 70s, in the 80s, when people give their lives to Christ, it is the things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. There's a great change since I'm born again. Praise the Lord. Without being followed up, some of us withstood the test. Did I give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ in First Acton, Lagos, First Baptist Church, First Acton? It was a revival service. I can't forget that day. I can't forget the message. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul. That was the only thing I was hearing the preacher say. And when the altar call came, I was already a choir director in the church. But I was not born again. We came from the same church. Harry, parade, attention! Bah! Far, far away from the commonwealth of Israel. Not circumcised in the heart. But before you mention three people in the choir that are Christians, we look so pious, but only in the church. Check our lives outside. We are worse than the devil. But that day, I heard the word of God. And I wept my way to the altar. You know, the devil didn't give up. The devil followed me to the counseling room. When they were distributing people to counsel those who give their life to Christ, the man they asked to come and counsel me was already drunk, smelling alcohol. As he was opening his mouth, telling me the word of God, write your name, alcohol was just smelling all over. I said, God. But you see, because God did a work that day in my heart, I was able to stand the test of time. There are many people in the Baptist denomination that are only churchgoers, that are not born again. They are only born into Baptist. Bami. You know what they call Bami? Bami. Can I ask you tonight, genuinely? I'm asking you under God. If you feel offended, please don't feel offended. But can I ask you under God? How did you encounter Christ? How did you come into this Christianity? What is your reference point? Where did you meet him? Or where did he meet you? If you ask everyone now, share your salvation experience, you'll be surprised. Baptist people. I was on the Sunbeam. From Sunbeam, they promoted me to GA. I finished all my steps. They promoted me again to Lydia. And from Lydia, I'm not a WMS. That is salvation experience. I say this under God, that this is the problem of the Nigerian Baptist Convention. If you have your internet now, Google the Nigerian Baptist Convention website, and you will see it very clear. The first day I saw it when I was doing my research, I had to write the president from U.S. I said, "Oga, this thing is not good, though." And they put your picture side by side, this statement in our opening page. What is it that is written there? The Nigerian Baptist Convention, founded by Thomas Jefferson Bowen in 1850, currently have 3 million baptized members and 3.5 million non-baptized members. When you look at it, it looks wonderful. But that is our problem. How can you have 3 million baptized members and 3.5 million non-baptized? Half of the 3.5 million, you can be sure that more than half, they are not what? They are not born again. They are not Christians. Even the 3 million that are baptized, how many are born again? You know how we do baptism sometimes in the Baptist church? Some of us will testify how you got baptized. That they came to church and announced, how many of you want to be baptized? Raise your hand. And you raise your hand without being born again. No. And before you know it, inside water. You get home that day, you didn't raise your hand. Your daddy will say, why didn't you raise your hand when they ask you to be baptized? Well, yeah, go back now to the pastor room and tell Reverend, say, you want to be baptized. So they by force you to do what? To baptize. Whereas the inner life that qualifies you for that outward experience, you don't have it. Unfortunately, it's the same non-baptized people that are taking decisions for us in most of our churches. Some of them are even pastors. Some are deacons. I was in Akure recently, and they were quarreling in a Baptist church there. The pastor left, and they needed a new pastor. What was the issue? The MMU president, they made the MMU president drinks, and everybody in the church knows that he still drinks. He didn't hide it. He said, you all know me that I drink. So how can that one be the light of the world? Eh? Is the light of Gulda or Star or any king or whatever? So you cannot be half salt or half light. You are either salt of the earth or light of the world. No midway. Anytime you see your life vacillating between the two, like Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 5, talking about the works of the flesh and the work of the spirit, you need to cry out to God like Paul did. The things I want to do, I couldn't do it. The things I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? And he concluded by saying, thanks be to Jesus who did. So let me conclude that story. It's good to tidy it up. When I wrote the president to raise that complaint, they worked on that statement. They doctored it. But I keep telling them, if you are not born again, you are not born again. You can't, like our pastorium now, that pastorium was built how many years ago? Maybe about 25 years ago. And we now did what? No matter how much you renovate an existing house, some areas of the house will still be telling you that I've been here before you come. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Some areas will still tell you that this thing, if you are not born again, no matter how much you sing hallelujah chorus, you will still miss one note that will tell us that, brother, you have not repented. Hallelujah. Can you help me ask your neighbor as we close tonight, are you salt or not? Ask him, are you born again? Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5 to 7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org. We look forward to having you back next week.